Good afternoon, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stephen Brain, and I'm the church secretary here at Emmanuel. So on behalf of our minister, the elders, and all the members and friends of Emmanuel, may I extend a very, very warm welcome to you all this afternoon for this celebratory service. A particular welcome to the mayor and mayoress, Councillor and Mrs. Abdul Amin. It's good to have you with us. Thank you for being with us. And greetings too to those of you who will be listening to the service as part of our recorded ministry here at Emmanuel. Yes, the service is being recorded this afternoon and will be uploaded to the website later on today. Fingers crossed it all works. So if anybody in the congregation this afternoon knows of people who weren't able to be here this afternoon, do please tell them to log on in the next day or two to Emmanuel's website, emmanuelurc.org, and they will have the whole service to listen to. A service like this means the church secretary has to give out a couple of notices, so please bear with me. We have no fire drill planned for this afternoon. So in the event of an alarm going off, it's serious and we need to evacuate. So those of you who don't know the geography of the building, there are in fact two exits at the back. The one which most of you came to, but another one on the left-hand side there. And for those of you sitting at the front of the church and the church choir, use, please, either of these doors, which will take you through into a corridor which will lead out into the outside. We hope and pray you won't have to evacuate. The other notice I have to give out is simply to say that the invitation in our order of service, inviting you for tea and coffee and a slice of cake, is not an idle one. It really is a heartfelt invitation. And if you don't come back and have cake, I don't know what we're going to do with it all. So please come back to the church hall afterwards. There we will be glad to see everybody, and it's a wonderful opportunity to meet up with old friends, and who knows, you might even make some new ones. The service will proceed unannounced, so with luck, things will just run smoothly. My task now is simply to light two candles. We have a candle here which represents Christ as the light of the world, Christ who is the light who is with us today. And the other one is our prayer candle, a candle which we've been lighting ever since March when the dreadful conflict started in Ukraine. And it represents our solidarity with the people there and with all the other countries in the world where there is, sadly, warfare and strife. Thank you.
We gather to worship and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour.
We celebrate and praise our God for the year of Jubilee.
We declare good news to the poor.
We declare freedom to the captives, release to the prisoners, and the binding up of broken hearts.
Those who mourn will be comforted. Put on praise instead of despair.
We will delight in the Lord. We will rejoice in our God.
Let us worship the living God.
Give glory to God, the faithful one.
Creator God, we praise you for your love and delight in your creation, thanking you for the generosity with which you bless us each day, for the world and all living things that you have created, We give glory to your name. Saving God, we praise you that your love for us was poured out in Christ, whose life and example reveal the nature of untainted humanity in perfect union with the divine. We praise you that through his death and resurrection, you have redeemed us, and by his blood all things in all creation may be reconciled to you. Liberating God, we praise you for the true freedom that is found in Christ. Freedom to be what you created us to be. We praise you for your deep love and care for the poor and those unjustly treated, and for calling us to share this love and passion for freedom for all in you. God of joy and peace, you are worthy of all praise and glory. So today we lift our hearts and voices in thanksgiving and sing praise for your faithfulness and love in the work and life of the United Reformed Church in this year of Jubilee, and all the local ecumenical partnerships of which the United Reformed Church is part. Take us, remake us, and challenge us with a spirit-filled, world-transforming call to bring freedom and love wherever you call us, and in whatever work you require of us, as we look to the future with hope. Amen.
we continue in prayer. Lord, it is not you that divides humanity into the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless, the worthy or the unworthy, the valued and those cast aside. As humanity, we have a bad reputation for establishing dividing lines, enforcing different types of differentiations that lead to labeling and stereotyping. Forgive us for the lines that separate and partition, that do nothing for establishing the understanding that in your vision for humanity, all are valued for who they are and are cherished as the children of God. Forgive us for the occasions when we have undermined others by questioning their worth to a project, to an organization, or to a society as a whole. Forgive us for the occasions when we have criticized others in a way that devalues their individual contribution and feeds the sense of low self-esteem. Forgive us, too, the times when we're guilty of identifying people not based on individuality or seeing the blessedness of the whole person, but instead seeing them only in terms of generalities, as defined by educational ability or the status of their health, physical, emotional, or spiritual. Merciful God, with your healing power, take what is wrong or misdirected in us and put us right. Give us that second chance to be the people you expect us to be. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. In the name of our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen.
Our first reading comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 15. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favour with his master, because by him the Lord was given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. For his servants approached him and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored, like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant.
And from Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Thanks be to God.
Your Lord and King of all. Will you pray with me? God of love, you speak to us through your holy word. You have come to us through your holy Son. Now in this holy time, we ask you to speak through these words of mine, that we may hear your voice, know your will, and walk in your way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how you feel about birthdays. I hope some of you, at least, like to celebrate with cake, a little glass of something, maybe even a full-blown party. Others might be a bit more coy or shy, or even a bit rueful about the passing of the years. But perhaps however we mark a birthday, there's some time among the cake crumbs and the torn open envelopes when we look back and think, how did I get here? I know I look in the mirror and say, how did that happen? Where did I go? When did I get old? Don't answer any of those questions. But on this 50th birthday of the United Reformed Church, I'd like us to think for a little while, with the help of Scripture, how did we get here? What have we learnt? Don't panic, it's not going to be a history lesson. In other places, there are chances to read important books written by important people about important history. That's great. There's merchandise, I see you. Thank you. Scarves, there's ties, there's socks, there's candles, I'm sure there's other things too. And there's even bunting. Someone has suggested we have the bunting out for the synod meeting in a couple of weeks' time. Watch this space. Some of us have thought of this as a golden jubilee, this 50th anniversary, and some of us have had the chance to hear Meg Warner, who's a really accessible Old Testament scholar, talk about the concept of jubilee. I did think about stealing her best ideas and putting them in this sermon, and then someone tipped me off. She's writing an article in October Reform. So you'd have read that and thought, that's where she got the good bits from. So there's no good bits. Sorry about that. But if you do want to catch up with Meg Warner, I recommend October Reform. But we've heard the story of Naaman the Syrian, and we've heard the story of the 10 lepers healed by Jesus. And I want us, in hearing those stories, to ask, what do they teach us? What has the URC learnt in 50 years? Well, first of all, I hope we've learned to continue to place the Word of God at the heart of our life and worship and witness. I often have to point out to people that when we stand, when the Bible is brought into church, it's not the person who's carrying it or the person who's walking behind it. It's the Bible we stand for. This is the Word of God, and we're here to listen. And the readings we had today are simply the readings for Proper 23, for those who follow the lectionary. It comes in a couple of weeks' time. I didn't choose those readings. They were chosen for us. And I reckon that by the time you hear your Sunday sermon on October the 9th, you'll have forgotten this one, so it won't be a repeat. God's word is central to us. The statement concerning the nature, faith, and order of the URC states, the highest authority for what we believe and do is God's word in the Bible, alive for his people today through the help of the Spirit. We respond to this word, whose servants we are, with God's people through the years. We're servants of the word. We allow it to have authority over us. And when we open God's word, it's fresh, alive, and active within us. So what is God's word saying to us today? I think the story of Naaman the Syrian has a lot to say about the value of small things. Naaman is described with words like high and mighty. He's the commander of the army of the king of Aram, and Aram at that point is sweeping all before it. But way down at the small end of the scale, at the other end of the hierarchy, is his wife's slave girl, taken captive in a raid on Israel. The value of small things. If she wasn't in that story, well, there wouldn't be a story. Knowing that Naaman, great as he is afflicted with a skin disease, calls it leprosy, we're never quite sure what. But she says to her mistress, if only my lord were with the prophet in Samaria, he could cure him. Word gets to Naaman. He asks his friend, the king of Aram, to write a letter to the king of Israel appearing for help. Now, that bit's chopped out of the lectionary. That's just to keep you on your toes. I hope when it said, the letter from the king of Israel, you thought, what? What letter? So Naaman asks the king Aram, and he writes a letter to the king of Israel appealing for help. And we've heard the king of Israel's panic. Remember, Aram has conquered Israel. I'm tempted to say it would be a bit like Putin writing to say, you know, can you just sort out this problem I'm having in the Donbass region? I don't know. I'm not making light of that, but you've got to understand, these are enemies. This is the conquered, the king of Israel. So he panics, because the king of Aram says, if you can just cure my general of leprosy, that'll be leprosy, the incurable disease. So the king of Israel panics, but Elisha accepts the challenge. And again, Naaman, he is not into the value of being small. He arrives at Elisha's house with his horses and his chariots. Did you catch that? So he arrives. I can't imagine Elisha's house was big and impressive, but suddenly there's Naaman the Great with his horses and his chariots. And Elisha sends a messenger out to tell the great man, yeah, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman is hugely affronted by the lack of personal attention, I suspect, by the failure to perform some sort of magical, marvellous healing ceremony, and even by the smallness of the Jordan River compared to all those wonderful rivers at home in Damascus. But once he sees sense, it is the simple, small command of the prophet. Wash in the simple, small river of a simple, small country. And that brings God's healing to Naaman. Human importance and pomp and chariots and horses count for nothing in the economy of God. And the lesson for the URC on our birthday? Well, perhaps it's that we hoped that the witness of the coming together of small denominations to form the URC in 1972, joined by other small denominations along the way, that we hoped that they might fulfill our human hopes of being the catalyst of a great union of the Christian churches in the UK. But it's in the small things that God's healing and God's will is known. We wanted to be part of something great. I was only 9 when the URC came into being. Do the maths. But I do remember that sense of we're on the edge of something amazing. And I think it was my first church meeting where we discussed the covenant between the Methodists and the Anglicans and the URC. And I remember somebody standing up and saying, I'm not sure about this covenant. Long live the free church and say no to bishops. But the rest of the church meeting said, no, we want to be part of this. Imagine if it was the Church of England was a bigger Church of England, the greater Church of England, the uniting Church of England, and we were part of it. And wouldn't it be great And in the end, the bishop said no to us. We're not called to be big and successful. We're called to be faithful. We're called to carry on saying, I know it's a clumsy title, the United Reformed Church. I know we have to keep making sure people put the ED on Reformed, please. But we are united because we came together, small as we were. We're reformed because we stand on the Bible as the basis of what we do, and we believe in certain things about church governance. And we're church because we're part of the bigger church. And in that, after 50 years, we continue to try to be faithful. And what of the gospel reading from Luke? What do we learn from that? Now, don't panic, I haven't got as much to say about this one, if you're kind of thinking, I should have put that mint imperial in my mouth. What do we learn from Luke? Jesus is in an in-between place. He's between Samaria and Galilee, and he answers a cry for help from 10 lepers. From a distance, this is leprosy. Nobody wants to go near these people with this incurable illness. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves, and they're healed. But only one returns to give thanks to Jesus. I've often thought of this story when I feel unappreciated in life. It does happen from time to time. If Jesus only had a 10% gratitude rate when he healed lepers, who do I think I am expecting thanks for the little things I do? But I think the story tells us something more profound than that. The thankful one was the Samaritan, the foreigner, the one who was doubly outcast, infected and foreign. I think there's a lesson here about being in the hard places, doing the hard work of God's work as churches and as a denomination, and realising that recognition for what we do is not the norm. And even more, did you spot that Luke says the Samaritan thanks Jesus, but Jesus says the man returned and gave praise to God? And did you notice that too in the Elisha story? Elisha says, yes, yes, send me Naaman, then he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. But Naaman, the foreigner, says, thanks be to God. There is a God in Israel who's healed me. Praise to God. So I think whatever the URC is at 50, and whatever we're called to be from now on, Jesus is clear, the Bible is clear, that what we do should bring praise to God. So the United Reformed Church has reached 50 years old, and we haven't fallen over yet. That might not seem like much in the grand scheme of things, but it does give us a chance to take stock. And I think above all, on this birthday, we learn we stand on God's word. We are God's faithful servants. And the only power we have is God's power. God's power to heal, and God's power to heal the divisions of the church, and God's power to heal our disbelief. And to God be the glory, in the church and in Christ Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bring to love. Let us, in fellowship with people of all nations, join in united prayer to the one God and parent of all humankind, after the manner which our Lord himself taught us.
Our Father in heaven.
We are weak and blind and selfish, but you are wisdom and love and life, and give wisdom, love and life in all its fullness to those who trust you.
Our Father in heaven.
Through the continued search for fullness of life of all people, regardless of race and ideology.
Hallowed be your name.
Through the persistent desire in all people to seek fellowship with one another in your family.
Hallowed be your name.
By the faithfulness of our people, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness.
Your kingdom come.
By the new dedication of churches in all lands to the establishment of justice on all the earth.
Your kingdom come.
In the struggle against all that diminishes life in our world.
Your will come.
In the determination among all to work for secure peace in a world order that is fair to the generations yet to be.
Your will be done.
By the establishment of peace and the unremitting search for justice.
Give us today our daily bread.
By passionate caring and committed sharing.
Give us today our daily bread.
Because of our self-interest and self-concern, we have increased the bitterness between peoples and nations.
Forgive us our sins.
Because we have been arrogant, seeking to exalt ourselves rather than to find your will and for us and to do it.
Forgive us our sins.
If other countries, whilst pursuing their own interests, have hindered ours and impoverished the life of your people,
we forgive those who sin against us.
If any have injured us by exploiting our ignorance and weakness,
we forgive those who sin against us.
When opportunity comes to secure better living standards for ourselves at the cost of increased poverty for others,
save us from the time of trial.
When fear distracts the mind or security lulls the conscience, and we are in danger of forgetting you,
save us from the time of trial.
At times of self-satisfaction, self-seeking, and self-confidence,
deliver us from evil.
When we fear the designs of others and desire to gain security or advantage by unjust means,
deliver us from evil.
For over all races and nations, you rule as sovereigns. Your parental love embraces all, and in your will is our peace, and in your life, our life.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
the name of Christ, empowered by the Spirit to do greater things, let us go to bring good news to the poor, announce freedom to the prisoners, give sight to the blind, and liberate those who suffer. May our lives in thought, word, and deed be an offering of love and service to God and all to whom God sends us. And may the blessing of God, ever three and ever one, glorious Trinity, be upon us and remain with us always.